are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
My maiden name was Simons. So Francis Simons emigrated to Australia with his wife, Kathy, from Cornwall in England. Some of you will say, ah, Cornwall, yes. They settled in Chain of Ponds in 1848. There are my parents at the back. It is his grandson, Herbert Simons, my paternal grandfather, who is in this photo with his wife, Eleanor. They have two daughters and two sons. And I think probably at that point of time, some spouses and some to be married yet, because I think my parents were not married at that time. And there are three Litleys in that photograph, and they are the old ones, my older cousins of mine. Today, I'm going to share a little of the descendants of this group with you. But firstly, Peter's first impressions of my family. He came across to Melbourne when I was working there in 1970. I was working with the National YWCA, and Peter was a race walker, and he came across to compete. So he had to be pretty careful with what he was eating and drinking at that time. And he arrived in Melbourne, and I picked him up from the airport bus in town and took him out to Jimmy Watson's. Now, I don't know if any of you know Melbourne, but Jimmy Watson's is a wine bar. And there was my family, because one couple were moving from Melbourne to Adelaide, and the rest of my family, of my age, around about 25, were there to say goodbye. And they'd been there for a little while by that time, so that they were a little bit happy. They were just about your age. So there was poor Peter, who couldn't do any of the drinking because he was off to do some race walking. And he looked at this group and he said, oh my gosh, what have I got here? Because by this time he and I were engaged to be married. I think he was wondering what he was getting himself into. Peter and I married in October 1971. I think he's had many opportunities since to say, oh my gosh, what have I got into? In February of this year, Justine and my first cousin Margaret's daughter, Joey, began planning the cousins' reunion. On Sunday, October the 2nd, we gathered, Belair National Park, Gold Escort Ground. A large shelter, picnic tables, a barbecue, a sweeping grassed area with a gentle slope and a playground for the children. Peter and I arrived first with our daughter Justy, partner Sebastian, and two Litleys, Felix and Genevieve, running down the grass to meet Grandma and Grandad. And they love us and we love them very much. Others arrived with spouses, partners, children, picnic gear, great food and the odd bottle of vino. Good vino. Three Frisbees and a plastic cricket set, which my granddaughter of 2.5 picked up at one stage, the bat, and played it as a guitar. I think she's got musical tendencies. Our relatives had come from Sydney, Melbourne, Canberra, and Adelaide. We are, all bar one second cousin, directly related to the group that you saw earlier when I was talking. And guess what? We all like and respect each other. We hugged and kissed each other and settled down to chat, laugh and share catch-up stories. The smaller children ran on the grass, chasing each other, hooting and laughing, redeveloping the friendship that they had developed with each other in Melbourne last year at a similar party. Older young cousins played frisbee and in one instance retrieved our 2.5-year-old granddaughter, who followed some ducks down towards a road and towards a small creek, just a little too far from the main group. So she was rescued by Joseph, who's 27, and he walked back with her, holding her hand. A lovely sight. After lunch, a group of children, accompanied by two fathers, walked, or shall we say, ran, over to the creek and across to the playground, and the adults chatted. Later, there's my granddaughter. I think she's up to her fourth cupcake, but she actually was just eating the icing. Get your priorities straight. Her name is Genevieve, but her aunt, who's our daughter who lives in Auckland, Alexandra, whom you will know, many of you, she calls her Evie, and the little girl calls herself Evie as well, which is quite delightful. Later we managed to organise everyone for a group photograph. Peter spoke briefly about the Gold Escort Ground, and I gave my sister's greetings to everyone. She lives in Hobart, and she's moving house. She's a little older than I am, and it was too far and too expensive to come that day. So we gave Rosalind's greetings, we slowly packed up, and regretfully said our goodbyes. Hopefully Melbourne next year, making it easier for Queensland and Hobart cousins to join us. The feelings which permeated our time together, and it's something that I often say to young people, and it's something that Peter and I carry very close to our own hearts. Love, laughter, and respect. Thank you, everybody.
Well, Janet has described how I first met the Melbourne branch of her extended family, a merry lot, at least they were on that occasion, and Jimmy Watson's. Over the years, we've kept close connections, visiting each other on interstate trips from time to time. We've seen their children grow and thrive and produce offspring of their own, and now our daughters and their second cousins keep in touch on Facebook, whatever that might be. Hence, it was Justine and Joey, her cousin from Melbourne, who organised the get-together earlier this month. On my side of the family, we have a German connection. One of my eight great-grandfathers migrated from Dresden in 1847. His surname was Shedlick. A couple of generations later, 100 years ago, one branch of his descendants anglicised the name to Shedley. This was because one of my grandmother's brothers was unable to be commissioned into the Australian Army with a Teutonic surname, part of the anti-German nomenclature madness that went through Australia at that time. Never mind the fact that he was about third generation Australian. Jeff Shedley, my father's cousin, was the design architect for the SA Housing Trust. He was the son of the aforementioned commissioned officer. He was also an accomplished artist, sculptor and musician, and a great friend of our late member, John Dowie. He of the Victoria Square fountain, the girl on the slide in the Rundle Mall, the painting on our side wall, among other works. Jeff designed the Elizabethtown Centre in the late 50s, early 60s, which included the Shedley Theatre and a rather dramatic fountain, which he sculpted on Windsor Green, all of which was opened by the Queen in 1962. That's the fountain there, but that's a recent photograph of it. Recently, the Playford Council had the green restored and the fountain reinstated in the development now called Prince George Plaza. Fittingly, the management of the project was carried out by a young landscape architect, Alec Whittam by name, my nephew, and Jeff Shedley's first cousin twice removed. So this was a great opportunity for that side of the family to get together, which we did on the weekend following the reunion of Janet's family. Two of Jeff's daughters came from interstate, and those with the local connection who are able foregathered at the third daughter's home in the Adelaide Hills. Another great day, and these three of Jeff's daughters, my second cousins. Young family members, I want to fly the nest and make their own way, either interstate or overseas. And that is why you and I, all here, are here now in Australia, as many of our antecedents did just that, emigrating from Britain or Europe in the 1800s when travel was slow and not necessarily very safe. Can you imagine the courage it would take to bring your young family thousands of miles to the other side of the world, 5 months on a cramped sailing vessel, like that, subject to storm and tempest, and probably unlikely ever to see your parents and friends at home ever again. As an example of the hazards of travel in those days, one branch of my family had a personal experience. They were Matthew and Anne Lynn and their young family from Kirkliston, which is a little village just to the west of Edinburgh. They embarked on the Asia, which is that vessel you see there. Comfortable travel, I'm sure. Out of London in 1839. They were lucky to reach Adelaide. The ship was threatened by pirates in the Atlantic Ocean and very nearly went aground in a storm as they passed Cape Border on Kangaroo Island. I'm indebted to my existence for Captain Duff, who had brought the Africaine to South Australia in 1836, and who incidentally is an ancestor of Jane Brummett's. Adelaide's a small place. Duff was a fair-paying passenger, but he took charge at the critical times as Freeman, the Asia's captain, was a drunkard and was more often than not to be found in his bunk below. Move forward to the 1960s, and both Janet and I, not together at that time, did the trip in reverse. Still by ship, as it was before the era of cheaper air travel, but it took only 5 weeks instead of 5 months. Even so, I felt a long way from home and family. Communication home was by letter or postcard. A phone call had to be booked in advance and cost half a week's pay for 3 minutes. By contrast, when Alex was living in London, we travelled to see her several times over the 7 years she spent there. The journey took 26 hours, and we also kept in touch on Skype. No cost, and instant face-to-face communication. But what I have described is a physical side, if you like, of the extended family. While it's uplifting to have such extended connections, of greater importance is the implicit and overt support and comfort one gets from one's family. And I extend the concept of family beyond the blood relationship to friends who trust and support you. I find a good example sitting here in front of me, you, the members of this congregation. Janet and I and our daughters, and indeed my parents, grandparents and great-grandparents, have been grateful for the support and friendship we have enjoyed from this church over many years.
I have some closing words from that young wise man, Felix La Montagne. That's his daddy's name. In the car, I love my mummy very much. And your papa? Yes, I love him too. And I love you, Grandma and Granddad. We love you too, Felix. It's important that we love each other. Yes, Felix, you are so right. Thank you, Max. Thank you.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.